This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, first story. Companies have long relied on the principle of informed consent in handling data privacy, but after the Facebook congressional hearings last week, some are saying that the idea of informed consent is more fiction than fact.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
Really?
Because when people don't actually read the terms and conditions or understand them before signing up for services or apps, then it's questionable whether they're really informed or whether there's really informed consent between the user and the company in question.
No, these things have become so complicated that for more often than not, we often just click OK because we want to move on, want to get the good stuff, right?
Yes, that's right.
There was a guy by the name of Robert Sikoriak, and what he did, he published a graphic novel. Right? Where the script of the graphic novel was the terms and conditions of Apple's iTunes.
Oh, wow.
And it's a really compelling piece of work. I bought it, and it's really fascinating. So he's illustrated the terms and conditions, right? And kind of crafted a sort of story out of it. And
is there a villain? Is there a protagonist?
No, there's no protagonist or villain, but the idea is there in that it's so complex. It's such a maze of legalese that actually even when someone has done something quirky and cute like this,
right,
it's still not something that, you know, that's barely enough to make you read it, let alone the pages and pages that you have to scroll through before you download an app to tell you where the best restaurant is.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fascinating because a lot of companies and brands are really responding to these congressional hearings. I was just watching the rather dull Manchester United game yesterday evening, but they had these huge banners that said manunited.com opt in.
Yes.
So suddenly even, you know, a big famous football club is trying to sort of have this relationship with its users or fans, rather, of opting into the type of information that you sign up for, I guess in response to a lot of this supposed informed consent that people have been having.
Well, a lot of these places don't take your money, right? And I think that's the reason, right? So Facebook doesn't take any money. And it's a free service. And so for the most part, they make money off of that data. And that is their entire, well, the bulk of their business model, right? And maybe, I mean, the safest thing to do is maybe not collect data. I mean, if you don't collect any data, then maybe the consumer will look upon you with some sense of, I guess, trust or respect. I was reading an interesting article just yesterday on Bloomberg Business Week that's talking about how Instagram may be Facebook's way out. So Facebook owns Instagram. But the interesting thing about Instagram is Instagram doesn't collect data.
Right.
Not in the same way that Facebook does. They publish all your photos and stuff like that. But I think the most they know about you is your name, maybe your date of birth if you put it in. But to set up an Instagram account, all you need is an email and password.
Right. But
with Facebook, you need to give them everything.
But they're collecting all sorts of different types of data about what you like, different brands and organizations that you follow. And so they are putting together some sort of construct.
But not in the same way.
Of course.
If you can go down that rabbit hole, you know, Facebook does it, right? Every now and again, they'll give you a little pop-up and be like, hey, we don't know where you went to high school.
Right.
And then you sit down, you fill, and you're like clicking next. And it's like, where are you working now? What was your last job? Where does your mother work? Where does your sister work? And you're like, what is going on? Why do you need all of this information?
Yeah.
So we have on the line Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, thank you for joining us on the show once again. Now, who do you think is at fault here when users don't read or understand terms and conditions?
Well, there's a bit of give and take here. I think there's probably wrongdoing on both sides. We as users and consumers should make much more of an effort to go through all of these terms and conditions. So, for example, when you go and get a car loan or a house loan, you do tend to look through those details to find out what your liability and what your rights actually are. When we go and download a free app, we tend not to do those things, but we're actually entering into a legal contract with these companies. Now, in terms of the actual terms and conditions that we're given, it should also be noted that just because a company puts something in the terms and conditions doesn't make it legal. I remember a case a couple of years ago, I can't remember the name of the company, unfortunately, but as a joke, they put into the terms and conditions that the company would own the consumer's firstborn son in perpetuity as a result of signing up for this service. Now, they did that just to prove that people don't read the terms and conditions. And of course, not all of these things that are inside these terms and conditions are legal or moral or just. Just because it's written in legalese doesn't make it legally binding. So, for example, people are often signing away their right to launch a lawsuit against the company when they sign up for these services. So we do need lawmakers to come in and to enforce the legal rules about what is and isn't fair to be put in this type of contract.
Matt, and how would it affect the operations of companies like Facebook, Google, and Twitter if we understood what they were doing with our data? Would they have to learn different ways to generate income, for example?
I think we have to fundamentally change the relationship that we have with these companies. Part and parcel of the reason that we have this model is that back in the early 2000s, companies were experimenting with lots of ways of monetizing their content, their services, their offerings. And the model that consumers seemed to like the most was free. But of course, free isn't free. All the companies that offer you free services, these are all profit-seeking companies. So they have to do something in order to turn that user base into a profit and, of course, to cover their operating costs. So I don't think it's that they haven't exactly hidden what they do with our data. They've just made it a little bit difficult or in some cases, very difficult for us to find out. But that is their model. Their model is to sell our data to third parties. And if you want to try and balance privacy with selling someone's user data, there's no real way of doing both of those things, because what we have is this very tightly balanced seesaw where we have a level of privacy that the companies shouldn't kind of go beyond. But at the same time, they're still saying that we have to give them an acceptable level of information not protected by our privacy controls that they can sell on to third parties. That is a business model that is inherently risky and is always going to run into the kind of problems that we see now, whether it's been done knowingly or unknowingly on the part of that company.
So, Matt, one solution that's been discussed quite a bit is to make users pay for these services. You are a big proponent of this paid model. When do you think that could happen?
That will largely depend on what happens over the next few months and whether any laws get passed. I think as users, we can decide not to use those services anymore, or we can start to demand much greater levels of privacy. But we have to remember that as we demand more privacy, then there is less information for companies like Facebook to sell on. So there is a cost inherent in that. I think Mark Zuckerberg in his Congress testimony last week did acknowledge that there may have to be some kind of paid model for Facebook. And to my mind, that can't come soon enough. I know a lot of people say that it crowds people out because some people can't afford to do it. We're not actually worth that much to Facebook as individuals. I think one of the tallies that I saw, I think it's a figure that was floated around last year, was that in developed countries, most individual users are worth about $20 a year to Facebook, which means we would be paying, you know, between 6 and 8 ringgit per month to use Facebook, and Facebook would have the same kind of revenue levels that it has now. So the costs don't have to be that high. They could be relatively affordable for people. And of course, it would make the nature of Facebook's business a lot simpler as well, because having all of those mechanisms to harvest our data and sell it on to third parties, that's a very expensive exercise as well. So, you know, you could do without that whole tier in essence if we just had a simple transactional relationship with Facebook and gave them our money and they safeguard our privacy and our data.
Matt, thank you very much for those insights. That was Culture Pop's Matt Armitage with his thoughts on the idea of informed consent when it comes to, you know, sharing our data with platforms and companies. Of course, catch more of him on Tech Talk with Jeff Sandu. That's Fridays at 10 a.m.
All right. Also, call us on 03-77-109-000. We want to know whether you actually read the fine print before signing up to anything, an email account, an online app, when you first set up your phone, for example. They ask you to read those terms and conditions. Do you actually bother, or do you just click next, like the rest of us?
Call us and be honest at 03-77-109-000. In the meantime, here's some music by The Clash.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.